Risky authors play with form and defy easy description. I am Suzanne Lang with a novel idea. Thomas E. Cochran is a geologist up on the Sonoma coast, and his regional bestseller is Shaping the Sonoma Mendocino Coast, exploring the coastal geography of Northern California, which is a great road trip sort of book for driving up the coast. He followed that up with a personal geologic memoir, Tornadoes, Rattlesnakes, and Oil, A Wildcatter's Memories of Hunting for Black Gold. It surprised me then that he has published a novel, Entwined in Mystery and Murder, times two. What I discovered was that all his books express the same sort of imagination and spike that is the irrepressible attitude of the author. Let's listen to my conversation with Thomas E. Cochran. The last time we spoke together, we were talking about your other books. So I would have thought that your next book would have been another sort of probing, geologic, but very readable nonfiction. And I was taken by surprise to find out you have traveled into the world of fiction writing with your just-released Entwined in Mystery and Murder, times two. So tell me a little bit about, and by the way, it doesn't really, it involves a lot of globe-trotting, but not a lot of time in California. So tell us a little bit about the how you got into writing fiction.
That's a good question. Being a geologist and looking for oil, you deal with a lot of detective work, and you deal with a lot of imagination, because visualizing what's under the ground is an imaginative procedure, and then wondering about the life that moves around there and so forth. So writing a detective novel is more detective work. So it's I researched some of the different chapters to get some factual background to weave into the story. So that was kind of fun there too. So
I would call this novel almost a fantasy type of superhero book, in that the main character, who I don't think you ever say she has a split personality, but she does have these two personas, that one is a high society, wealthy socialite, and the other is a detective. And these characters, we won't give too much away, but she is these two people in one. So that seems to add a significant twist to the storytelling.
Yes, right. And I think I purposely do that, because I think in all of us that we have our yin and our yang, our good side, our bad side, our imaginative side, our, factual side. We can look at our beliefs and so on, and there always seems to be a interplay between this side and the other side. So the two main characters are G and Karen, and they put out different stories, whether they're twins or whether they're the same person or whether they're different people. They tend to lie about who they are, even. So when I really got into this, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and one of them would be saying, "Well, what about this? What about this chapter? Or maybe you should rewrite this, or what do you think about this?" So they kind of wrote their own novel in the middle of the night. They would wake me up, and they'd send me off in a direction, and then in the morning I'd get up there on my computer and crank it out. So it was fun.
And sometimes, as you said, these characters would wake you up, and in your writing of the book, these G and Karen would sometimes dialogue with each other or comment on each other. But you, as the author, also intrude in the narrative sometimes to make your own kind of comments about what's going on.
Right. I have my main character say that she is the author, and then she tells the story from her standpoint. And then every now and then I make a cameo appearance like Hitchcock does in his movies. You know, I pop into it, and I will make some comments about the way they're handling the situation, and they'll tell me to get out of their novel. It's they're writing the story, or they're telling the story. So I have a lot of fun doing this. You know, just this interchange that they have with each other and even with me. And then I even have an interchange with the reader. Every now and then we'll have a topic. Maybe it'll be about somebody's kids or something. And I'll say, what do you do with your kids? You know, what do you, reader, do with your kids? Or how do you handle this situation? So it's a, so I'm having fun with the, reader and, you know, making them think about their own lives as well as what's going on in the story.
Sometimes the characters comment on you and the fact that you are a geologist, and one of the, and G maybe took one geology course in college that she fesses up to. But some of that, your underlying geologic observations come into the storytelling too, in, I don't know, maybe a tongue-in-cheek way for you.
Right. I mean, if you can't make fun of yourself or things out there, you know, you're too serious.
And there was also part of the book where it might have only been one or two chapters where you were talking about Scotch whiskey and the making of Scotch. It's on a case she's solving. She's been hired to find out about this degradation in the water that they're using to make the whiskey, and was it sabotage? And so that, I thought, I wonder if Tom is a Scotch drinker.
He drinks a lot of Scotch. Yes. Right. And we like, currently we're into the peaty ones.
So do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because it does play into this. It was a fun part of the story, kind of talking about the making of Scotch and the importance of the water.
I try to put in there some facts about how it's made and how they're using the waste, the peat, the barley itself is being reused, and they look at it as an energy source. In fact, some whiskey makers are using 25% of their energy is being developed by the reuse of barley. So, you know, there's some things going on there. As an environmentalist, we like to pitch environmental things as well as, you know, other things. So,
well, I thought you did a lot of that in the book too. There were parts of it that seemed almost utopian, where you have this wealthy white family who, you know, inherits a plantation in the South called Taft Plantation, and that's one of the narrative threads in the book, was kind of this transformation of this southern plantation. And why don't you talk about that little thread in the book?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, they grow tobacco on the plantation, and we worry about getting out of the tobacco business and starting other kinds of businesses, and you know, it leads to a whole, you know, how do you refurbish a southern plantation that is rotting itself into the ground, and you're only dealing with workers who don't really want to work. I had a lot of fun with that part. So, it leads to, one chapter seems to lead to the next. So, and one thing that my editor has criticized me for is for giving little titles to the chapters, and you know, a lot of mystery stories or detective ones you read, you know, it's chapter one, it's chapter two, it's chapter five or six or whatever. But every one of these chapters, I gave a some kind of a little title, a hint of what's going on in the chapter. I'm wondering, is that a good thing to do in a novel, or is that something I should maybe eliminate for the next novel?
Are you asking my advice?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I look for advice from wherever I can get it.
And it seems like even in the book, you ask the readers for some advice towards the end of the book, too. So, I'm going to say that I think that that is between you, your editor, yourself, your maker, whatever. I didn't find them distracting or like that they were giving too much away. So I think it's your book and you get to do what you want.
Right, yeah. And I certainly did. I spoof a lot of things in the book. So, you know, even though there's something serious going on in the detective work or a cause that G is promoting, there's still a tide of humor running through it. So I tried to get it all in there. So,
and you did get a lot. I mean, she is quite something. Travels all over the world. Just somebody says, "Can you meet me in China tomorrow?" And she gets on her mother's private plane. Mama has a private plane, and the topics, the things she gets involved in, and the topics you talk about really do range from animal rescue and housing refugees, first refugees from a hurricane, much like Hurricane Katrina created all these refugees. And
right.
And you get into kind of that whole tent city thing, and they even form a little government. And then guns. Guns is a huge part of the story, too. So why don't you talk a little bit about some of these topics?
Yeah, I think the gun thing, I mean, if you read a novel today or watch, I mean, I don't read many novels. In fact, in looking through my bookcase of more than 500 books, I only found three or four novels. I mean, all the ones that I have are like Mark Twain or, you know, some historical ones. But the gun thing, in novels today and in movies today, they kill. It seems like they kill hundreds of people in all these books and these movies and things like that. And, you know, we have our murderer in the, book, and we have a mass shooting and a few other things like that. And we seriously discuss in the lectures the, you know, the whole gun problem. So in trying to deal with that, I certainly put out enough ideas that it's food for thought. I mean, how do we deal with murder and you know, and why are there mass murders? And
yes, she uses a gun, but doesn't really like to have to use a gun.
Yeah, and my Boston socialite hates guns and would never gave up hunting when she was young. Her father took her hunting, and she gave it up because she didn't want to kill anything. But her counterpart, Karen, is an expert marksman. And yet, in the entire book, which I'm giving something away here, they have to switch roles on who does what. So that's kind of another thing of, you know, there's the one side of us and there's the other side of us. And, you know, what happens when we get put in a situation where we have to take up a position that is anti our philosophical position?
And you have to do it to save other people.
Right,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's how she was operating. But yeah, you bring up a good point that it was one that I observed also, that Karen is the private eye, but G, the socialite, is dragged into that world in a pretty big way for her. And there's also a love interest for her that seems to kind of accept these two in one women.
It's a very interesting contrast between two people and falling in love with two different women who are the same woman, but so different from each other. I mean, it's almost a love triangle, with yourself.
That's exactly right. Right. Yes. Thomas E. Cochran has come out with A Fiction Entwined in Mystery and Murder, times two. Anything you want to leave our readers? And I know you have a lot of fans of your other books, your nonfiction books. And what do you want to tell them?
Right. I mean, these books are available. They're available maybe in your favorite bookstore, but they're all available on Amazon. And if you want to talk to me directly, you can get into my website at riverbeachpress.com. I certainly in the novel, I would really like to get some feedback on is this something I ought to be writing? You know, should I mean, my second novel is being edited currently, and it's over the top compared to the first one here, I think. Personally, we haven't even chosen a name for it yet. You know, I like the binder having a one word on it so that you can see it. You know, when books are primarily on bookshelves on their edge.
Right.
So, you know, you first grab a book by looking at the edge word, and you don't want to have a whole sentence in there. You want to have a one word deal. And Entwined was interesting because it has twin in the middle of it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And that's why we chose it. So, I mean, and we haven't chosen a second title yet for the next book.
Well, thank you very much, and all the best to you, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, well, thank you, Suzanne. It's good talking with you.
Thomas E. Cochran. The book is Entwined. I am Suzanne Lang, and I have production assistance from Anthony Garcia with Mark Prell and Sean Knight. You can subscribe to our podcast and listen anytime at norcalpublicmedia.org. This is a production of Lit Radio and Northern California Public Media. I thank you for listening. It's a novel idea.